I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. 8 to 4. Run through the night, playing with your life.
All right, folks, we are back with another edition of Red and White Podcast. I'm your host, Evan, here with Will, and it has been a fun start to the off season. Well, off season, I guess we still got the bowl games, but the regular season is over, and Black Monday is gone. Although it wasn't really that Black Monday for coaches. It was, I think all that stuff was done ahead of time. It's more about the portal, but a couple of housekeeping things before we get going. If anybody's interested in helping produce the pod, like push all these little buttons that I get to push when we're doing it, reach out to me. We could use some help at all times, and be a good resume booster if you're into that kind of thing. Same thing for social media. If you're interested in helping with social media, hit me up and we can talk. Will, how you doing?
Oh, you can McCall me feeling pretty good.
Oh, no, not yet.
I can't wait. I can't. I'm sorry. Are you too tired to push the buttons? What the hell?
No, man. We got a bunch of things I'd like to do with, like, making clips and other things to do, and I just get distracted going.
I like how you summarize this, pushing the buttons.
Yeah, pushing the buttons. There's a lot of buttons to push here. I can push all these fun buttons.
Don't push the buttons.
Yeah.
No, man. I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I got to give a shout out to my friend Mango and Habanero. They appreciate that. And yeah. First things first, Peyton Wilson, consensus All-American. He
pretty good.
Pretty much won every award possible other than the one that I think they gave to the wrong guy because they got this picture wrong on the slide. It was at the Nagurski.
That is so weird.
And
thank God.
Somehow he was not a consensus All-ACC selection. Your voting rights should be removed if you did not vote for Peyton Wilson for the first team All ACC. It's absurd.
Yeah, I wish we could get like the
retired number 11. Yeah,
I wish we could get like that Reddit top 20 or AP vote thing, right? But get that for all.
Oh, they should 100% make all these things public. Why are they not? What are we doing? Like, if you want more things to talk about, you want more clicks, put those votes public. I mean, ridiculous. People should be shameful of themselves. It's transfer portal season. NC State currently has a top 10 transfer portal ranking class. Is this our first top 10 recruiting class ever?
Maybe.
Yeah. I know we got a long way to go. We have 4 commits, but picked up some solid pieces so far.
Hold on. Let's rewind back for a second. You talked about Peyton Wilson, but we didn't talk about Joe Shimko getting the best long snapper award. Come on, man.
I mean, those are...
Did you see that trophy?
Yeah, those are just givens because I feel like we've won that one. Like, who's the guy before him?
Oh man, that's a great question. Oh shoot, man, he would always be down the field on punts.
Yeah, I can't forget the guy before was awesome too. We've just had such good special teams for the last few years that I kind of take it for granted. Shimko did have 0 bad snaps. Was the number like that's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was awesome.
You know, one of the things is we're replacing him, replacing Narveson, who was fantastic this year, kicking, who replaced
Yeah, did Chris he Dunn. Get on? Did he get on the All-AC? See, well, we've already replaced Chris Dunn, my man. Oh, you're saying he replaced him?
Yes.
Please. Oh God,
keep up,
dude.
Keep
I am up. Thinking of Noonkester. My bad. These names, yeah. They all sound the same.
Yes, Narveson came in and was fantastic. He was solid. He had. Just everything about him. I thought he was fantastic. So replacing the special teams guys is going to be interesting to see what they do. I know we have some younger guys that they like and all that jazz, but it'll be interesting. Narveson was clutch, man. That guy was good. Underrated. Wasn't talking about a lot, but he was solid. And you could pretty much count on him to do what he's supposed to be doing.
Wow.
So, yeah, State's bringing in 4 guys. They have 18 outgoing. Anybody on that list – surprise you?
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
Boy, I was just checking through. Yeah, neither our punter nor our kicker were listed on the All-ACC teams. That's crazy. Gosh, there's only 18 of them. I mean, Ant Smith is the one that broke my heart. I really
and Chris so Scott weird. Jr.
I had moved on from Chris Scott. I saw him dancing at some games, and I said, "Okay, he's having a great time. He's never touching a ball here." So I've let it go. I would say I wasn't surprised he went in with Porter Rooks, but I was surprised at where he landed, which was Eastern Michigan. That seemed like an odd landing location.
Very. I think that kind of summarizes Porter Rooks' career. Not to be dismissive of it, but he was sort of underwhelming, right? I mean, it's, yeah. He came in, he was a highly rated prospect. I think he was rated 90. He was rated the number 11 prospect in the state, I believe. Or number 11. I don't remember. He was extremely highly rated. I'm trying to go back right now and do this on the fly where he was. But all in all, his career never amounted to what we thought it would be. Like when he committed, I was super excited. You know, I thought he was going to be that guy. And it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I get it. It happens.
Thing is, I'm sure he can be featured there. And he maybe just made the smart decision. They're third in the MAC. They're not like the worst. It's just... when you see that logo pop up, you're like, who?
Yeah, and they had been historically pretty bad.
Yeah.
But
I think CJ Clark is probably the most important one that went in so far. Mm-hmm. I don't have the list up in front of me, but like, I mean, that kind of says a lot, right? There were a lot of guys that went in and we were like, yeah. I mean, I remember going to the UVA game and looking at the wide receiver group that was there and that wasn't doing anything other than special teams. And I was like, well, that's not a good sign. Right. You know, so there's probably a lot of guys that were part of the 25K holdout crew that are now going on. Interesting to see some of like the linebacker prospects bounce out. I mean, it's not surprising. But I mean, at the same time, I think people were kind of freaking out about the amount of people going in the portal. But when you factor in the complete lack of attrition for the last few years, it kind of made sense. And especially when we were bringing in like classes that were like, what, 12 or 14 guys on signing day, you knew people were going to have to leave at some point.
We had talked about that before, too, that, you know, they got rid of the $25,000 payment plan or whatever it was for the players, or basically for sticking it out, which in
retention
theory was,
plan.
Yeah, retention plan was a good idea, but you know, then you kept around a lot of guys that you would rather move on. And when they pull that away and you just see a lot of the, I don't know what the nice way to put it is, a lot of the guys that, you know, dead weight, so to speak, or a lot of guys that just never lived up to the hype. I know there's a lot of, you know, Terrell Timmons and landed at Colorado.
Yeah, that one.
That's interesting. Cecil Powell is a guy, like, I hate to see him go, but he just never found his spot. He did everything, and I respect a guy that can come in, play wide receiver, play corner, play safety. You know, he was just such a good athlete. They put him everywhere and, you know, just never stuck at one. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like maybe the writing was on the wall with like a Terrell Timmons. You know, there were guys that just kind of disappeared as the season went on. And so it kind of makes sense, but it's just funny because, you know, those were guys that you're like, well, when Terrell Timmons popped the previous year, you were kind of like, oh, we got something here. Right. And he was the Wesley Grimes replacement in that class. So kind of funny how things work out like that. But yeah, you know, I mean, in the end, I think the biggest concern I have just with the amount of guys that went in is a lot of them were contributing on special teams. So hopefully the guys that come in through the portal are also going to help there. Because, I mean, special teams was where we were kind of winning a lot of games. There was a lot of hidden yardage, I think, on both sides of the ball that we were responsible for with those guys. So, you know, I wish them the best, but I don't know. Aside from one or two, it doesn't seem like it was a big deal.
Not one really has been surprising to me.
I guess we didn't say the biggest surprise, which was MJ Morris went into the portal.
Yeah, shocker. Yeah, he said he was going to stick it out. Yeah. You know, his family really tried to tell us. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
They don't have the Cebro twin, who's Cedric, who's supposedly said he was in the portal, but he is not on this 24/7 portal list yet. So that would be 19. I don't know why he's not on there. Maybe he didn't get his papers in or something. It'll be curious to see where these guys land. I mean, if you're a program like, you know, on a G5 school or whatnot, you can pick up some talent. There's a lot of kids in the portal that I think you could do well with.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see at what point you come to like an agreement with certain schools and be like, you're going to be the farm team. We'll send guys down. You send guys up. We're seeing it right now, kind of maybe with Coastal, but I don't know. I mean, I was just going to say, like, I think the portal has been so much more exciting and fruitful to me than like traditional signing day. I don't know.
Oh,
like,
it is definitely taken over. Yeah, it is definitely taken over all of it's killed high school recruiting, I think, from a just excitement level and just overall. I just don't think people are that into it. And part of the reason, I think it was being discussed in the pod chat today, actually, you know, State doesn't recruit at that level nationally out of high school for whatever reason, that you're not going to bring in a ton of impact guys straight away. So make your living in the portal. Get guys who, you know, highly rated kids that aren't getting playing time at other places, and, you know, or guys that are, you know, looking for that transfer year, you know, Grayson McCall, which we'll talk about, and others. I mean, I think it's a good thing for NC State. And I think I'm thankful for, I was going to get to this too, our NIL programs. And I know it's kind of counterintuitive because I have personally shit on a lot of the NIL programs because
you have.
I do think it is, it's tough to keep asking fans for more money, right? And then especially when there didn't seem to be, you know, when Pack of Wolves first started, my opinion was that it was very similar to the Wolfpack Club, and it was bloated, and you didn't know where the money was going and how it was working out for the programs, and they're, you know, giving money to, you know, Breon Passes and other folks in here that are, you know, it's fine, do what you want, but it is not going to help you get to the next level. And MJ's in our pod chat audience.
I'm not
here.
Surprised. I would say it's not that you were crapping on the organization. You were crapping on the fundamental concept that fans needed to be paying for players.
Right. And I still think that's an issue, right? We've talked about it. At least now with Savage Wolves, and I respect Tom and what he's doing. We talked about this a lot today as well, that he's been so crucial in getting the momentum that Savage Wolves is needed and being that, like, I don't say mouthpiece, but he's one of us. Like, he feels like he's one of us. He's a lunatic fringe guy, loves the football program. He's doing what he can to, you know, make the program better. And the money that you're donating to Savage Wolves is going to the football program. And we have seen that impact immediately. And so I've kind of, I don't want to say I've changed my tune on the NIL, but I think there's a valid NIL organization that is doing the right things for this football program and doing it the way that, you know, schools that want to win are doing it, and not doing it the right way is what we heard previously, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, but the right way was such a silly way to set this whole thing up before.
So, I think it's also just kind of cool that it's like an instant feedback on the money, kind of, right? Like, anyone that's donated in the last month kind of feels connected to the recruits that are coming in, where things like the Wolfpack Club and other things, right? It's like a long-term investment and scholarships for, like, I don't know. You have no direct, it doesn't feel like you're influencing anything as part of the Wolfpack Club unless you're doing like a big donation. But anyways.
So, you know, good things happening with the Savage Wolves NIL program. And I did donate. All right, that's one of the things I said I wouldn't do for a long time, and I believe in what they're doing.
To the dark side.
Huh? I did. I came to the side where I've donated twice already since the season has ended. And
soon you'll get one of these boxes. I believe what they're doing. You'll get one of these.
I ain't got my box yet.
Your box will come. They've had a lot of new members. Give them time. Okay.
I did hear that some guys in the pod check out their MJ Morris signed box, which just
I know. I got Jakeen Harris, which I was telling my boss. I was like, cool, I donated money, and then he bolted. That makes me feel good.
At least he did something. He signed the box.
Yeah. I like Jakeen.
All right, so everybody's wondering why I'm smiling ear to ear today, and it is because Grayson McCall committed to the Wolfpack at 11 a.m., and I am a huge fanboy. Like, I love this kid. I wanted him last year when he was in the portal or going, you know, rumors he was going to be in the portal, and it didn't work out. He stayed at Coastal. But here's what you're getting with Grayson McCall, right? I've got this question a lot. What do we get? What is he any good? All right, three-time conference player of the year. 10,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing, 88 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 18 rushing TDs on top of that. He went 28-5 as a starter pre-Beck, and then if you include the Beck years, 32-8, which he got hurt late in the year. And just to comparison, he's had 1,000 career yards rushing. He only had 48 last year under Tim Beck's, you know, offensive mastermind. He's 70% completion ratio, career completion ratio. Ethan Berry on Twitter had a good stat, and I'm not sure where he stands on this because it sounded like he was shitting on McCall. But first three Power Five teams last year, he had a 68 completion percentage, 8 yards per attempt, 6 TDs, 2 interceptions, 3 rushing touchdowns. NC State in the last 2 years is at a 58% completion percentage, 6.45 yards per attempt. So, like, I think what you get in McCall and what excites me so much about him is that he's a gamer. I watched Coastal, and partly watching Chad Wall's offense, it's phenomenal. I love it. It's fun to watch. But watching the Coastal app games, watching what was that Coastal BYU game last or 2 years ago, was just next level. The guy is gritty. He lays it all out there. He's makes good decisions. I think that's why, you know, it's so exciting. I think what Anai will be able to do with him is a lot like what they were doing in the second half of the season. They were keeping it simple. They were letting Armstrong get it into the hands of the guys that could make plays. I think McCall's perfect for that kind of offense. It's not going to be the triple option that Chad would run, but it is going to be just – I think he's a perfect fit for it.
Yeah, oh, I don't have to add anything to that.
I mean, I love Grayson McCall. He is – I think he's going to be a great addition. I know he doesn't have the – you know, monster arm.
Oh, who cares?
Had, or that other, you know, Tyler Van Dyke they were talking about in the portal. Like all these other guys that are out there. But I think he's exactly what you need. I want a winner. It's college football. You want something. You want somebody who is going to help make your team better. And I think Grayson McCall is that guy that makes your team better.
Boy, our producer would be killing you right now for this headphone, microphone action you're doing.
I know. See, if we had a producer, this would work
Hey,
out.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of an echo. Hopefully it gets canceled out. What I was going to say I like about McCall the most, right, is when you look at his highlights, he hits so many guys in stride, puts the ball right where they need to be to keep running after the catch, and that's just something we've really missed over the years. And he's definitely a very good deep ball thrower. So it's funny that when people are crapping on his arm strength, but he puts the ball where it's supposed to be to enable a deep route. So I think the arm strength thing is overrated. Little concerning with the injuries, you know, the concussion that he suffered, but you can get through that. So yeah, I mean, it's like the perfect pickup. I love these 1 year guys that are going to be like this skill set. I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, Jason just put in the chat. He throws them open, right? He makes good decisions. I think so highly of him. Watching him play, and I'm excited to see what Anai is going to be able to do with him. It's a great pickup. He was number one on my board. I don't know if he was number one on State's board. I know there was some mixed feelings maybe by some people, and I get that, right? Because you look at the production drop he had in Beck's system last year. But even last year, he took care of the ball. You know, he didn't have the running yards. It's a completely different offense.
Yeah.
I'm looking at so Philip Danford had a comparison that somebody just put in the chat. Side by side 2023 season. Armstrong 62% completion, McCall 67. McCall's got more yards per attempt, about the same touchdown rate, 4.5, 4.7% interception rate, about the same. First down passes about the same. So, I mean, they're very similar in that regards. I think over the career, McCall's had more production with less, or maybe not more production because I know Armstrong's numbers, but he's had less mistakes. He makes better decisions. I think it's been a cleaner, you know, you look at the numbers, like they've been cleaner.
Yeah. Right. I think with McCall, you're going to see a lot more RPO. You're going to see a lot more distribution. It's going to be funny, right? It's like we're potentially bringing in these upgrades at wide receiver, and we may see another year of distributed wide receiver targets, but it'd be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know people kind of look back on what happened earlier in the year, and they were like, gosh, it really took us a long time to figure out what we had to do. Well, unfortunately, it took us a long time to realize that most of the wide receivers on this team sucked. And we just gave it to the one guy the whole time. I mean, I think Casey got 17 touches. I think that's what I heard on IPS the other day. 17 touches in the last two games, or maybe it was the last three games per game. So it's going to be funny, actually. I mean, I do think Casey's touches are going to go down, but there's going to be so much more skill talent and effective passing. And I don't know. I'm not too worried about how quickly the team is going to gel or all these new moving parts. Like he'll be here early. Most of those guys are going to be here for spring ball. It'll be fine. I'm not too worried.
I agree. I think you'll see a lot of what you saw at the end of the year with Armstrong. When Armstrong was hurt and they were not using him like a bulldozer, they were using him in controlled runs. They were using him to get the ball into guys' hands, right? Get it to Casey, essentially. And in theory, Casey should have help this year. And so I like what McCall's ability brings to the program, and I think it's a fantastic addition. I know the staff was high on Will Howard. I think he's going to cost too much. He's got some big players after him. But, I mean, if you're talking about kids in the QBs in the portal right now, I mean, I don't know how you can't have McCall high on your list. He's so good.
Speaking of, like, you know, the second quarterback that we're looking to bring in, have we heard anything? I mean, I know some people were throwing, like, Cam Fancher out there, which I think is actually kind of a smart second quarterback to look at, right? Like just a developmental guy. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, he's gone. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's better than it'd be a little bit better than Jack Chambers, but it's probably about the same sort of
quality. He ripped our defense's asshole wide open. I mean, you know what? I was going to text you the other day. I was like, this is Tabari Hines 2.0. If it comes true, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we just saw you beat us, not beat us, right? But be difficult for us. I love those quotes where it was like, not enough NIL money and the fans hate him. I was like, that Huff quote on him is just going to haunt him.
Yeah. I mean, Huff's really on tilt. He was everybody's darling, but yeah, I mean, they'll bring in somebody who will be a depth piece and give, you know, that will take some reps in practice. Because you can't go in the season with Grace McCall, Lex Thomas, and Cedric Bailey. Like, you need somebody else. And I think they will. I think they'll get a guy who hadn't played, or a guy at the G5 level who had, you know, ran a unique offense or something Jack Chambers-ish, and, you know, bring him in. But that might be a spring thing. I think that's probably lower on their priority table right now. They have other skill positions to get to.
I'm loving this MJ in the chat. Did I curse Brandon? Do I need to say a sorry mom? Oh,
man. I don't think so. Yeah, MJ in the chat's cracking me up. It's throwing me off here. We got a chat going on for our members, pod supporters. We post a link so they can come in here and enjoy. Yes, that was a curse. All right, I'm going to play the cover 3 clip because they were talking about Grayson McCall today.
Oh.
I want to hear your reaction to that.
I haven't heard it yet.
There's like very sensible, you know, regional aspects to Grayson McCall to NC State, but it still is one of those confusing Coastal Carolina. So Tim Beck just sent him back, right? And Tim Beck leaves, right? He's NC State's offensive coordinator. He leaves, he takes the head coaching job at Coastal Carolina, and now Grayson McCall is going to NC State. I mean, that's he just that was clean, right? Or is that messy? It's got to be clean. I mean, that's there's some favor that's been paid off. Was a steak dinner bet just paid off with Grayson McCall's transfer? I don't know. I'm just asking questions out loud. It's just too convenient that McCall picks NC State.
I'm going to pause that right there. We've talked about this before, that if you are a smart coach, you are not only building your relationships with recruits and recruits you missed on, but coaches that who work for you for exactly this reason. Now, I don't know if Tim Beck had any influence on it, but I'm sure Tim Beck saying, yeah, that's a really good program. Yeah, you know, they did me right. They helped me get this job, right? They helped put people in, you know, all those
they
things.
They didn't fire me.
Yeah, he didn't fire me, right? I think there's a lot of that there. There's a lot of that in all of these transactions, what it can be. Like, I don't think it's that cut and dry, but if you imagine if he did fire Tim Beck or if it was it went down poorly,
yeah,
Tim Beck saying, you don't want to go there, go to somewhere else. These guys are a-holes, right? So anyway.
The university where his now ex-head coach was the offensive coordinator the year prior.
I mean, his like if you're NC State, you're buying low here, right? Last year, Auburn wanted him, and then I think he just couldn't get in, right? So he had to go back to Coastal. If you're NC State, like McCall's a pretty experienced guy, does not have a big arm, some mobility. I think the main asset he has is the accuracy and decision making. So that's an offense that they run under Robert and I, where like. Find the open guy, assuming that they have a little bit better receiver play this year. I could see that working out, and it's NC State, so they almost never ask the quarterback to carry the team.
What? Since when?
That's a joke, right?
Yeah. Right. You know, like Finley, Russ. I mean, that's QBU, baby.
I mean, yeah, but that we're talking about like. We had better hairline. Well, Chip still has a great hairline, but like some of the better hairlines back then, man. I mean, that's it's been a minute.
That's true. Is Grayson McCall an upgrade over MJ Morris?
They were just tired of dealing with MJ Morris, right?
Yeah.
100%. Like, yeah. Come on.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like if you're just in a vacuum, which one would you rather have next year?
I think the floor on Grayson McCall is pretty set. MJ Morris didn't play that great this season. There might be a slightly higher upside.
I love Danny.
Danny Cannell.
I think you're more stable with Grayson McCall. That's just.
I don't think you can do it in a vacuum because you can't redshirt yourself in the middle of a season and come back to that same locker room and be like, all right, boys.
Yeah.
I'm back.
No,
let's
I
do
get it.
It.
I'm not. Yeah. I understand that they couldn't bring him back. I'm just saying if you had things your way. And you had the choice of MJ Morris coming back for what his third year in the program or Grayson McCall transferring in. And we saw Grayson McCall in an offense that wasn't Jamie Chadwell's last year, not look nearly as good as he looked when he was in Jamie Chadwell's offense. I'm saying, I don't know.
We'll see. That's fair. They're going to surround him with skill players. If they can hold on to Jonathan Paylor, lighten it up down at the Shrine Bowl right now. You know, then they'll have Kevin Concepcion, a couple different pieces to work together. That smart decision-making, find the open guy approach, they might have the pieces for it. So McCall might be a good choice to run the offense. Any other transfer?
Yes. Are we buying low? Yes, because McCall didn't have a great year last year. I get that part of it. Is he better than MJ? Like, I don't even know how you can make that comparison. And thank you for Danny Cannell, who actually pays attention to football games and is like, MJ didn't play that well. Like, everybody knew that. Sorry, MJ in the chat. Yeah. What do you think of that reaction, though? And besides Chip mispronouncing names, which drives me crazy. Paylor? Who says Paylor?
The worst is when he says Et Cetera. It just drives me through the
roof.
Such
a Carolina guy.
And his argument for that is not correct, by the way. But anyways... well, that was an interesting take for sure. I feel like they're not really tuned in whatsoever on the MJ Morris thing. Yeah, I think the guy with 10,000 passing yards, hundreds of touchdowns, and very few interceptions is better than MJ Morris, who could barely get over 200 yards passing by the end of his little tenure here. Yeah, kind of surprised. Yeah, I mean, what it comes down to is, yeah, he doesn't have an awesome arm. But of the guys available in the portal from a quarterbacking perspective, right, like, who are the no-brainers right now that NC State should be just crying to get? Like, Grayson McCall, to me, is a logical guy to pursue. And yeah, you've got the inside track on what does Tim Beck, your former OC and quarterback coach, think about him? Does he think he can be at this level? I'm sure we were talking with him about it. So yeah, I think there's some insider information there, but I really don't think Tim Beck was necessarily pushing Grayson McCall here. I mean, what it ended up coming down. Yeah. Like
a guy
like
him who could get a lot of options, I'm sure. Cause he's got the production. It's not like you're coming from App State or something or somewhere where you're not as, maybe that's not a great example, but coming somewhere where you're not as publicized or he doesn't have the resume. And yeah, you need your coach to say, put in a good word for you, you know, maybe not at a quarterback position, but maybe one of these other secondary positions. Yeah. Like the Mizzou kid, I wonder, did Drink offer him up to NC State? Right. I mean, it's possible.
I'm sure they talked. Like, I mean, that's the thing, right? You say, like, is he a good kid? Does he fit in with our vibe? Right. Like, what's the issue? Why does he want to go in the portal? You know, so I think it helps to have those connections. I mean, that was the thing we kind of faulted the staff with on how they approached the transfer portal previously, was it was so many former connections, guys we recruited or guys we had coached. And so, like, they weren't really going outside of the known realm, I guess. And even so far right now, I mean, they haven't really, right? I mean, we're in it with a lot of guys, local guys, Duke guys, JMNU guys. A lot of former guys that we recruited, right? So we're still kind of seeing it on repeat, but maybe we'll have a little bit broader reach on a few of these guys. But I guess what I was going to say is, in the end, you know, Grayson McCall seems like it was down to us and UCF and playing for Malzahn, which makes sense. A guy that
would have killed him, would have gotten killed.
He would have gotten killed, but he could have also dialed up, you know, aligned to his skill set. So I feel like Grayson McCall made the right decision. And I think from our perspective, I just really don't think of who else was out there that we were coveting that we were actually going to play for. Like you said, Will Howard sounds like he's kind of expensive. And I mean, Cam Ward was never going to happen here. Like,
no.
We're not going to drop the entire basket on him. So
you would have had to settle for somebody who probably not in the portal yet. At another kind of lower level school, right?
Yeah, well, everyone's going to shit their britches if that happens. If that guy comes available, the one I think you're hinting at.
Oh yeah. But I just meant that in general. But you know, Finn or somebody from like Toledo or something, or maybe even a smaller program.
Yeah, I'd be more worried if it was like if it was Cam Fancher as the first quarterback, right? Because you're not selling that very well. Is it Fancher or Fincher?
Fancher,
yeah. The one that I thought was kind of interesting that we were slightly linked to was Kyle McCord, right? Like, that would have been really curious to see how that would have played out.
That's the thing. You keep in mind, like, Dave knows and the staff knows they need an experienced guy that can run their system, and they definitely want a guy that can move a little bit, right? Yeah. I don't think Kyle McCord is the most swift of foot. I don't think he's a statue, but he's not what you think of when you think of, you know, dual threat or a guy that can run. It would have been a strange fit, and anybody they would have brought in was going to be able to move. And I think that's just such a priority for them right now, and I think they saw what that does to an offense and how hard that makes them defend. It makes you to defend. And I don't think they will ever go Devin Leary style again.
Yeah. I'd also say too, right? They're smart. They're looking at the schedule for next year. We know that, I mean, who knows how long Dave wants to stick around, right? Like it looks like it's another opportunity to make a run. So yeah, exactly. get someone you don't rebuild right now. Just buy it. You know, same thing. Like we haven't talked about it yet, right? But like Zeke Correll at center was like a huge.
I'm gonna get there.
Okay. Okay.
Too far. You know, Kyle McCord is now being mentioned with Syracuse, and so what I think is interesting to me is that. And somebody gave a good analogy of it. And I don't remember what podcast it was, but it was they're just saying it's musical chairs right now, and the music's starting to slow down. And these quarterbacks are trying to find their spots. If we didn't land McCall, I would imagine McCord would have been, you know, just because he is talented and he has, I mean, he's won games for Ohio State and he's got kid can play. He may not be fitting what Ryan Day wants to do, but he's a good quarterback. He would have been very realistic, I think. I think there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be looking for spots, and there's not a lot of spots for some of these kids, you know, the chairs are starting to fill up. And so, you know, you see a guy like Kyle McCord and you think Syracuse, like, ugh. But, you know, he needs a spot. They need a quarterback.
It's great for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Great for them.
Isn't he from around there? Why do I have New Jersey in my head for him? That may be why. Yeah.
I don't know. Probably Pennsylvania. Weird. It feels like they're all from Pennsylvania. Other guys that we picked up, you've already mentioned the Notre Dame center, Zeke Correll. Missouri offensive lineman. I think we have four, technically five maybe. And some more coming, as everybody likes to tease. We've talked about those in the pod chat as well. Yeah. but I feel like they're bringing in impact kids, right? The Zeke Correll's going to come in. He's going to start at center. Right? He's taking – say what?
Tom Bombs. One guy just actually hopped in the portal that I was kind of curious about. What are your thoughts on the Texas quarterback that just jumped in?
Malik Murphy?
Is he a candidate to redshirt? I guess he just redshirted, so he probably wouldn't.
Well, see, this is tough for the kids, right? I think this is going to be the narrative right now. You'll probably hear over the next week. A kid like Malik Murphy, who was instrumental in Texas maintaining their good season, given Ewers getting hurt and whatnot, and he can't stick around for the playoff because we just talked about spots are filling up. Malik Murphy wants to go somewhere and play. He's not going to have a ton of options right now that maybe that he'll like. So I think it's going to be interesting how this plays out over in the future. But I think that's the narrative you're going to hear is like, man, this sucks for him. He's got to go in the portal, miss the playoff. Because he's trying to find a spot. I get it. I mean, he's intriguing. I would have taken him in a heartbeat too.
Yeah. He's a guy though, that that's just what I thought was interesting. Like if he came in if he was willing to risk it, he could come in after spring and he would be a very coveted guy. Right. I mean, that's what's interesting. You were talking about the musical chairs, right? Is I'm glad we were able to get McCall because you didn't want to be there waiting after the first music stop.
You don't want to be desperate.
Yeah, but there are going to be a lot of guys that hop in after bowls. Those are probably going to be the worst ones. Not the worst ones, right? But, like, I don't know. Do you really want a guy that was hoping to stick around and play a bowl game and put some tape on? Like, that doesn't bode well to me. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong there.
Is it a tape thing or is it like, I want to play in the college football playoff. I help my team get there.
That, yes, I get that.
Like, that's tough.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Sucks for Jordan Travis.
All right, we're gonna get some questions. We got a lot of questions here. We will touch on them, and I will touch on FSU getting boned here at the end too. Pod questions. So we'll rattle some off quicker than others because there's a lot of them. Y'all have been awesome. Grayson McCall production expectations more or less same as all the QBs this year.
Slightly better.
Yeah,
that's our quarterbacks, right?
I assume so. We just talked about, you know, Danford's tweet.
Yeah.
I would assume similar but better. And I expect Grayson McCall to take care of the ball better than our guys did so far this year.
Yeah. I thought you made actually a really good point. The UNC game was kind of like the perfect example of what you would do with Grayson McCall. And that game went perfectly fine for us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the best our offense has looked all year, to be honest. We probably would have scored 50 if he's healthy and they're, you know, pounding him like, you know, Jordan Lynch. But I thought the offense was phenomenal. The game was never a threat. Grayson McCall did his best work under Chadwell. He obviously regressed under Beck, similar to Armstrong under Dez Kitchings before he got here. Are we going to see another shit show, sorry, mom, of a one-year rental? Then a QB shuffle the rest of the season? I hope not. I think they have figured out. Yeah, so this was also in the pod chat today, and somebody else answered it, and I'm going to quote their quote because it's the right answer. I hope not. I think they have figured out what they need to do in order to be successful. Things went best when they kept it simple, and I think that's exactly right. I mean, it's when you didn't ask him to do crazy things and, you know, you did what the guys do best, right? You get the ball into the hands of the playmakers and let them make plays, right? That's the winning formula. Keep it simple. We've said this so many times on this podcast. You know, the offenses that work best in college are the simple ones. You don't need to have an overly complex offense because defenses aren't that smart. Keep things simple and get really good at doing the simple things. And especially when you have athletes like Casey and you're going to have Paylor and you're going to have some other guys coming in, keep it simple. Get the ball in the offense, get the ball in their hands and let them make the plays that they can make. And I think they're starting to realize that.
Yeah. My only point would be his accuracy really didn't drop significantly from Beck and Chadwell. He's basically 67.5% versus 69.9, right? Like, the accuracy is what's going to travel, and that's all that really matters.
The decision-making. I mean, I swear, Jason says in the chat here, systems make the QBs. I think that's right. The decision-making is going to give Anai a lot of options, not to make a pun, but I think that's exactly what is so exciting about McCall for me. I think he's a smart football player. His body of work suggests it. And it might have been a lot of Chadwell's offense, which is, you know, very option-based, but the kid can play. I watched him play. He's a phenomenal player. He fits very much what a Dave Doran football player, which we've talked about before. All right, questions here. 2 years and two portal QBs. More excited about McCall or when Armstrong committed? Numbers-wise, coming to Raleigh could argue either way. So who are you more excited about?
Well, I feel like we had reservations about Brennan Armstrong because of what we had seen in the past and, you know, left arm, redheaded. It was never – he never had a chance initially with us. But, I think I'd definitely be more excited about Grayson McCall. It's the unknown factor, too. Like, how's he going to do at this level? I feel like the Nye's offense is much closer to Chadwell's than Beck's, and we've seen Anai go and do all kinds of different things. So I feel like the problem initially was that we were not smart enough to really carve the offense out and make it as efficient as possible. For whatever reason, like, Dave had to tell them to get rid of the inefficient plays. I still don't understand how that happens.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I'm more excited because it's year two. The majority of the team knows Robert's system. You've got an identified playmaker. You've got better talent. I mean, let's be real, right? Like, we started the season with Jordan Houston as our primary running back, with Delbert Mims really like taking all the short yardage stuff. You had Keon Lassane, who wasn't doing jack shit, but was getting all kinds of snaps. And you had a bunch of guys that just weren't sure what their role was. And I just think it's a completely different situation. I'm much more comfortable. I'd probably be comfortable with any quarterback, but I don't know.
So the optimism with Armstrong was that he was getting back with Anai. The reservations were, we saw what he did without him. And you know, you and I have talked about Armstrong before, is his propensity to try to do stupid things or do things that are stupid, and stupid things happen. My excitement is much higher with McCall because he doesn't have that. Right? 88 touchdowns to 14 interceptions. He takes care of the ball and he makes plays. I just, my excitement with McCall is much higher, I think. But I can understand the argument if anybody's the other way. Odds Peyton Wilson plays in the bowl game. Doesn't seem like a guy to take himself out. Like he really wants to finish this thing out, battling with his teammates. But I totally understand if he decides to sit out. What you got?
I mean, I think his people don't want him to play.
Correct.
I would just be shocked if he actually plays. I want him to play because I would like to win a game. I would like to win number 10. But God, he's gotten, I mean, I remember when that shoulder got dislocated, I can't remember what game it was, and he popped it back in and I was like, oh man, like,
yeah,
he's always rolling the dice every single play. So I wouldn't blame him one bit if he didn't play. I don't even want to see him out there for a token start. Like, I just don't even want to risk it.
Yeah. His people don't want him to play. I'm sure he wants to play, and I could see him playing for a quarter. Right. And just being there and getting them fired up and just being a part of it to be a part of it. Cause that seems like the kind of player or like the teammate he is. I think logically don't play. You made it through a whole season healthy. It's your money year. You're about to get paid. It would be, I would hate to see it. Anything happen to him there, right, for a bowl game.
Yeah. And he basically did that two seasons in a row, right? It was, can you show that you can be healthy? And he's made it through two seasons. And you're going to have some dings or whatever, right? But
right.
Just leave. Does anyone have like a projection on him yet for draft grade?
No, not yet. I haven't seen much. He's going to go to the combine. He is absolutely going to light it up. He's fast and strong, and he's just going to kill every number, and it's going to be a combine phenom. And I know the reservations will be with his injury history, but it has nothing to do with his talent or ability. I mean, unreal. Is there anyone else that can help fill the void that is Peyton Wilson? What's your take on filling Peyton Wilson's shoes there?
I mean, weren't you just saying he was like a consensus All-American? And
yeah,
what did he get? No, he didn't get the Nagurski.
He got all the other ones.
He got all the other ones, right? He's pretty damn good. So, yeah, I don't expect anyone to fill the void. Yeah, TBD, man. Like,
so, yeah, I think Fordham has the makeup. He's got the skills. I don't know if he's as athletic as Peyton Wilson. And you can't replace Peyton Wilson with one guy. I think you're going to hope to maybe – your hope is that your unit gets better overall with more talent, with some of the kids they're bringing in. It's, I don't know how you replace them. And that is really one of my big concerns this off season. I think there's talent at that position. I think they'll bring in another linebacker, but you just don't replace, you don't replace a Peyton Wilson. He's generational. Are we done at QB with Bailey saying he's locked in? What do you want to see us do there? Now we've just talked about that. Will doesn't think so. I don't think so either. When does Coach Dave Dorn name Coach Gibson the coach in waiting? And how long does Dave have left if we go recruiting like this?
They won't use that tag because I think there were rules put in place that basically said if you're coach in waiting or something like that, then you are – you basically can't be on the road recruiting, if I remember the way the rule broke out. So I'm sure they're going to tag him as associate head coach, something of that nature, and – it'll be all, yeah, I'm sure he's going to get paid big time.
Yeah.
They'll do whatever it takes. I mean, again, like, I just don't think he's, we were talking about this. I just don't see the value as a highly paid, highly respected defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator to really take these small gigs. There's that thumbs up button again. Yeah. Well, you didn't do anything to cause it. We'll find out. Yeah. We'll find out someone's ghosting us in this chat and doing it.
It's our producer.
Yeah. Or it's like, they just know we made a great point. But my whole thing is if I'm a really, really good DC, I'm just going to wait because DCs are getting hired all the time for head coaching jobs at Power 5 level. So why wouldn't, this is what you did last time and it did not work. Sorry. No one can see this, but Evan just keeps throwing up thumbs ups to the screen, seeing if it will respond to him. Yeah, I don't see the value in like going after a Marshall or somewhere like that. Really, like it, I feel like you're going to keep seeing a lot of positional coaches getting these lower level gigs. Because if I'm a DC, I'm not going down to that level. And unless you're like SMU and I know you've got a boatload of money, I'm not recruiting in this era. Right.
Yeah. Real good point. It, you know, we talked about before how it seemed like Dave was exhausted all season and, you know, crying after all the press conferences after he got the record and all these things. Bringing in some talent will really change your guys' perspective, right? Figuring out your offense will really change your energy level. And he seemed like a different person at the end of the year. Like, they obviously finished strong, and I think they're happy with how the NIL program is going. He's out there, you know, talking about getting people to donate to NIL and just doing all the things that we've been saying. Hey, we need to do these things. We need the coach to get behind it. We need people to start talking about it. And it seems like he's got a renewed vigor for coaching. So I don't know. I still don't expect him to coach into, you know, deep into his 70s, right? I would not be surprised. And it's funny, we talked about this before, and we always use Bronco Mendenhall, who's a friend of Dave, as a guy who hung up early. He just got a job at New Mexico. He's back in coaching.
Of all places.
Yeah.
He just rode that motorcycle down there and just pulled up. I think the thing is, what I was going to say before I forget this point is, you had said last time, like, oh, Dave would go try to coach in the pros or something like that, like get back to coaching. I do wonder if, especially with this potential new pay-for-play league and these guys becoming employees, I wonder if that would keep him around, because he's like, well, there's less BS. Like, if we're all paying, it's all going to be kind of roughly the same numbers, and it's going to be maybe more of the coaching that he wants. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it plays out, but it certainly helps beating the crap out of your last three opponents and winning every game in the first quarter, basically. So that certainly would make me a happy coach.
Yeah, Brandon in the chat just said F.U. Dave was born, and that's exactly right. Right, that's a great way to say it. Like, he's just got that new, he's got some life to him, and
he knows he's untouchable.
Yeah, right. He feels like it. Right, there's no more, you know, hot seat, fake hot seat stuff happening anymore. What do we realistically need to expect a 10 or 11 win season? It's a good question.
I mean, you should have had one this year,
right?
Like, don't bench Brennan Armstrong after the Louisville game, and you probably have a 10-win season. I still think that it's the Duke game. I'll keep going back to it. It's the Duke game.
The Louisville game. It's still the Louisville game.
So I texted you this, I think, and I said this should be a good question for the pod. But it's like, what's the one play of the year that you wish you could have back? And I think I know what you're going to say.
The interception Louisville game.
Yeah. So what I would say is that fake running into the kicker five plays before that extended that drive, took all our timeouts, and then put him in that spot to have to throw that pass. Like, yeah, I really felt like that's where the game was lost. It's, no one talks about it, but it was a bogus running into the kicker. And it changed everything. It ended the game for us. The game was already over. It's like in those movies when they're like, you died 5 minutes ago when you walked in.
The fake MJ in the chat just said, Duke game, not my fault. Blame Butterfingers. Listen.
Him and Rosner, right? Come on. Oh, my gosh. I got a feeling I know who MJ is.
yes, what do we need to do to expect him? I think you need to keep bringing in quality depth to replace your depth. I think that's... I think Dave has got the program in a place where he's got a lot of talent at a lot of spots, but you can see with 18 guys outgoing, there's room for improvement. And bringing in high caliber players like they're doing, so recruiting at the high level, you know, at a few spots in high school, Paylor, you know, maybe some wide receivers, Anderson, and then, you know, bringing in guys on the lines that can impact right away. Cause I still think you need to have the lines taken care of in order to excel, right? You can't develop. I just don't think you're going to see a lot of high school O-linemen coming in and developing over years and staying and all that stuff. I think you're going to see a lot of them going to lower levels and then, you know, being picked up in the portal other places.
I also think the thing is, you got to be smart. Like, looking at the current composition of the future ACC football schedules, NC State should be trying to build its roster for even year team, even year seasons. Just looking at next year, right? You're playing Duke, Stanford, Syracuse, Wake, Cal. Clemson's the one tough game. Georgia Tech, UNC.
Yeah.
That's a season where you can win 10 games. The next season, you pick up a lot of guys that you're dodging, right? So, you know, just do what Louisville did. Win the easy year.
Yeah, I mean, just, Louisville did exactly that, right? They brought in some components to their offense that made them dynamic, and they had a pretty strong defense, right? They weren't stuffing everybody, but they were disruptive, and you know, you knew they could score. So, God, they had a gift in that whatever one of their last games.
The Virginia game.
Yes, the Virginia game, I think it was. No, they lost that game. The one of the what was the one?
No, they won that game.
Oh, they won that game. Yeah, they got
Miami game and the Miami game and the Virginia game were like it was like you might as well have just said the refs were trying to get Louisville there at that point.
Yeah. They got cheated in one game and then Miami choked away the other one. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But do what they did. I mean, I feel like that's
is that official, Jason? Or is that speculation in the chat?
It's not official. Yeah.
Okay.
It is, but it's not.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was asking if it had to become official.
Where do we reserve hotels for the PAX 2024 college football playoffs? I can see who the Dave haters. No, this is my comment. Yeah. Where are we going for the playoff opener next year?
Well, we get home field advantage. Well, we'll have a home field game. So you don't have to go anywhere. Raleigh. Easy. Boom.
That was an easy answer. And this is funny. I was thinking about this the other day. And the people who don't like Dave Dorn, I'm going to use my brother because he's a Dave hater, and I get it.
That might be the first mention of your brother on this podcast. So
I don't know if he listens all the time, so he doesn't deserve to get mentioned.
No, now we're finding out there's a secret hater in the fam. Okay, go. Sorry.
Yeah.
Throwing off there.
And his name is Dave, actually. So it's.
Oh, my God. Is your last name Doran?
But I can see it now. If State has a good year next year, which all things are setting up for, obviously, and I know the response is going to be Dave needed a 12-team playoff to make the playoffs. Like I can see it right now. That's what people are going to say.
So did Florida State.
But I just know that's going to be the comment.
I could care less. Teams.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. It is funny watching the haters start to come around. And we've been very critical. I'm not going to say we were haters, but we've been critical. We just want to see things done the right way. But the known haters, especially my Twitter feed and the responses have started to come around. And it's great. I love it. It's funny. It's funny to watch.
It's funny how much easier it is now that we can all cheat openly.
I think it's. When you have a fun team, right? How many times have we said your offense and the ability to score and the ability to look like you have some life really energizes the fan base? And I swear, if they put a Venmo QR code for Savage Wolves on the scoreboard in the Carolina, they would have raised $1 billion. Like every time they score, put a Venmo code up, they would have raised $1 billion.
It's in the works. It's already in the works.
Yeah, but all right. We need to have the year of pessimism in 2024 to hold the expectations in check. No chance. I know somebody who said that. No.
Even if we lose early,
the roof right now.
Even if we lose early, we're going to pull at Alabama. We'll just be like, oh yeah, that was an early loss. You can ignore all the data. Yeah,
don't worry.
Doesn't matter. We got a quarterback.
Yeah. we get very much held in the realm of Alabama in a lot of these conversations.
Well, we recruit like them. You can thank Debbie Yao, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
It's coming true.
Is Grayson McCall's mullet his strength like Samson from the Bible, or was that just Myrtle Beach vibe?
I asked him if he was going to grow it back out on the Zoom call. So,
what did he say?
He said it was up to the NC State fans. I think he was going to put it out. I wonder if he's going to put a poll out or something. But yes, between him and freaking Jaramillo, if they don't have two mullets in the game at the time, I'm going to be losing it.
I mean, it very much fit the Myrtle Beach vibe. I don't know how you roll a hand
in the dirt. It fits the NC State vibe
with your haircut. But yeah.
Are you kidding me? There is nothing more hand in the dirt than a dude rolling in with a mullet. Are you kidding me? Y'all want to play football? Come on.
Since we'll have a first round bye next year's college football playoff, do you think the quarterfinals will be before Christmas? I love the expectations. They're already through the roof. This is great.
There is like a tentative schedule out. The NCAA put out a tentative bracket. I was reading it the other day for argumentative purposes. So,
yeah. Last one and most serious one. We say jokingly a lot, we got our guy. Have we actually gotten our guy so far in the portal?
Yeah.
I think if you're referring to McCall, I think, yes, he was probably 1B on the quarterbacks. Like, you're not going to lose. If he wants to come, you're taking him. You know, I don't know if they had – we talked about Howard. I know they really liked Howard. But realistically, I think we got our guy for once. I really do. I'm not answering this basketball question. Sorry.
No chance. But what I was going to say real quick, right, is we've definitely gotten our guy. Oh, my God. Now I cannot remember his name. The center from Notre Dame.
Correct.
Zeke Correll, Wesley Grimes, you know. We haven't even talked about him, but, I mean, he was better than basically every receiver on our team, not named KC last year from a stats perspective. And I think he was like the third or fourth wide receiver at Wake by targets, right? So
terrible offense.
God, I know. But man, I love watching his highlights. Like, he snatches the ball out of the air, runs great routes. Like, he's a real receiver. And I'm curious to see how he looks, you know, after a year of S&C with us too. Same thing with picking up Groves, the linebacker, which is someone who was our guy. Then he went to Kentucky or committed to Kentucky, then he came back and was our guy again. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys like that. So, yeah, I feel like things are going pretty well. And now that you have a quarterback to sell, like, I really feel like this is the other factor that no one was talking about, is all they have to do is that people will be like, well, his arm strength. And all NC State's going to say is 10,000 yards.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Are you a receiver? Do you like catching the ball? This guy throws it to you.
Yeah.
And if I'm Noah Rogers, you know, I'm liking what I'm hearing.
How realistic is Noah Rogers jumping in the portal?
Oh, that's phrased very well. 50-50?
Yeah. He's going to want a lot of money wherever he goes, just based on his talent. I know our resident Ohio State guy in the pod chat always talks about Ohio State's wide receiver depth and, you know, Noah being fourth on that wide receiver list if the guys who are playing in return. So, and they just have – I was listening to that Cover 3 pod today. They were just talking about the new guy who's the number one player in the class committed to Ohio State. It says like a Julio Jones clone coming in. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
It's, I don't know how realistic it is, but I don't think it's off the table. So we'll kind of leave that there. I don't know.
I'm curious if
yes, we'll talk about it all the time.
Yeah. I'm curious if like going up against, you know, trying to win reps where you've got like a Marvin Harrison and others, maybe that gives you a little bit of a wake-up call and says, I could be an alpha somewhere else. Mm. And that's what my argument was always going to be, is he's going to get there. He's going to realize, like, yeah, I could play here, but what are the chances that I'm the dude here? Where if he goes to NC State, I mean, I'm just thinking like a wide receiver rotation next year of him, Grimes, KC, and Collins is probably the best, like, pure talent group we've had at wide receiver in –
yeah,
like what, a decade and a half?
Yeah, a long time since Jacoby and Kelvin. But even then, it was Jacoby and Kelvin.
Yeah, it was just them two. Yeah. And
you don't remember the third guy.
And quite frankly, at the time, like, you didn't know Jacoby was Jacoby at first, right? Because he was a freaking backup quarterback for us. So, but yeah, I'm guessing it's either this year or next when he'd hop in the portal. It's gonna be curious. You know, I assume he's sticking around to play in the bowl game. See if he gets reps. And if he doesn't get reps there, I think that he'll go in. And then it's, yeah, I guess to your point, man, it's like, he's like the one guy that you have to pay for upside.
Yeah.
Everyone else, you're kind of paying for, like, we know your production.
And then the concern with him is that, can you get, I mean, yes, the home connection, there's that. And, you know, he was down to us in Ohio State and maybe somebody else at the end.
Supposedly UNC, but I don't think that's just because of his brother that was there.
But could a guy like Rodgers go in the portal and get interest from any of the other blue bloods? Probably. Like, I think he's talented enough, you know. So we'll see where that one goes. I don't know. I know.
Yeah.
State feels optimistic about the guys they are targeting in the portal right now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually the worst part is there will be a bidding war for him. God, I don't even want to think about it. I'm almost to the point where I'm like, I'd rather him go to Ohio State and flounder for another year or two, drive his value down, suppress it a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. Since I hate tight ends, you get this question. Would UConn tight end force Vereen out?
No. The UConn guy is like Trent Penix, but he actually plays all year. And
secret weapon.
But that's when you watch his highlights, that's he just looks like Trent Penix as a passing option. And so no, I think Javonte Vereen just gives you so much more capability than that. He's a guy that like we're not really talking about a lot, but that again, like him getting the ball thrown to his hands is gonna be do wonders for him, I think. And learning the offense. So yeah, I don't think it impacts. I mean, he's still more of a wide receiver to me than a tight end. So I think Jolie takes away reps from Poole if Poole stays at H-back. That seems like more of two guys that are in the same role than Vereen.
Yeah. Yeah, Vereen's more Kyle Pitts, I think.
Yeah.
Do we think a potential pass catcher group of Casey, Collins, Vereen, Paylor, Anderson is enough to do, or do we need more? You forgot Grimes, yeah. Well, you just answered that question. I think, yeah, it would be extremely talented.
I still think Paylor's a running back.
Yeah, he'd be slot guy. I mean, I think they'll probably use him like Naheem and try to figure out where to use him.
But Casey will be eating all the reps at slot next year.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And
if you want Paylor on the field, yeah.
They'll get him on the field. The guy we're not talking about yet is Waters from Duke. If that guy comes here, like...
I was getting there.
It's just so hard for me to wait, man.
We have notes, Will. Please look at the notes.
No, I refuse. I like to be off the cuff. You guide the conversation. It gives that's our dynamic is where will they go?
Paylor is supposedly killing it at the Shrine Bowl, as you heard on the Cover 3 podcast. I don't know what that's all about, but he
needs to shut it down. He shouldn't take another rep until he gets here. Yeah.
He comes in the spring, so we're good there. He should be here soon.
God, I hope so.
Worst Christmas tradition? I am not answering that question right now.
Worst Christmas tradition?
Yeah. I got one. And ask me again next pod, and I won't give you the answer. I definitely have one.
Let's save it closer to Christmas. That's smart.
Yeah. I know we're pumped for a QB, but why is Zeke the biggest pickup so far? I think we've talked about this too. We need linemen.
Good
our line performed really well at the end of the year. Credit to... 2J and Anai for adapting, but we need to get better. We need, you know, more traditional pass protection abilities and not gimmicks and whatnot. I mean, it worked, but you need linemen. And as we've seen, center is the key to your offensive line, and picking up a guy like Zeke is it's crucial, absolutely crucial.
Yeah. 2J and Anai made me stop cursing at Dylan McMahon. That in itself is the greatest Christmas gift one could have given me.
Yeah.
I think you saw exactly what happens when you don't have a guy that's ready to go at Cooper. And thinking long term, taking a Notre Dame center helps you with a conversation with two other North Carolina natives that went to go play for Notre Dame. Fact. So you start that conversation. It kind of comes back full circle, right? So,
yeah. Jason in the chat says Cooper's the reason why Zeke's the best pickup. Yeah, I mean Cooper is your center, and he's in the portal, and you know he didn't pan out like they thought he was gonna.
And I want to say I think they said that Jaramillo was actually tabbed to maybe be the backup center, like he was going to be like the everything six man, and so it's like you were down to your third center if you think about it. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I'm just really curious to see about that Missouri lineman, like what the expectations are there. And I guess we really need to find out what's going on with McKay and Belton. Like, Because so far we've been focused on, I think we've been focused on interior linemen. I guess I got to go look at that Van Erickson or whatever his name is.
Yeah. They're bringing in guys that are fighters, for lack of a better term. And I think that's good. That's what you want. How many minutes into the Tennessee game is all this optimism coming to a crashing halt?
God, it's like, can we get this year's Tennessee next year?
Right.
You know, like much more. I'm not too worried.
My optimism is Tony Gibson being able to confuse a new quarterback.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with that. Tennessee offense is fast and high paced and all that jazz, but I like to see what Gibson can do to make it difficult for him.
Well, when we give Leacock, you know, $500,000 before the game to walk over to our side and put a jersey on,
that'd be funny.
That's what I said would have been great if we got Ohio State in the bowl game, just to watch Noah Rogers like shaking hands and then just stay on our side.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back.
Yeah. Get on our plane. And we will have bowl coverage. We're going to do some interviews with Cocaine Willie and some Kansas State guys.
What a name.
It's a great name. Great name. All right. Another question. Assuming we add two running backs. So Jordan Waters, I know we are talking to, is a Duke running back. There's a bunch of Duke guys. And I said this in the pod chat earlier that personally, I like a lot of those Duke players, especially the defensive guys. They were well coached, and I think that defense was strong. There's a couple of DBs, and Anais Peebles is one that I would love to have if you're trying to replace CJ Clark. Give me that guy. But Jordan Waters is one. Dylan Smothers from Oklahoma is another. The Shaw kid from wide receiver, Jolly, tight end. Backup QB, defensive lineman. JMU kid they're looking at. Defensive back, DeMarcus Cooley. They feel pretty
linebacker.
Good about. Like, yeah, so answering this question, what more do you think State should add? So who do you think State should add? Depends on availability of scholarships and leaving after the bowl game. I think at least two offensive linemen, two or three DBs, Cooley, and one or two linebackers. That's about right. More linemen, for sure. The linebacker we talked about, we need an experienced linebacker. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the depth chart real fast. We're kind of loaded at offensive line, to be honest. We've got am I reading this right?
I need production, though.
I know you need production, but what I'm saying is McMahon and Correll cancel each other out. If the tackles stay, that's 3, 6, 9, 13 dudes plus three coming in. Like, we got enough linemen. I usually wouldn't say that, but I think we have like 16 linemen total when you count freshmen. I think the gap is on the defensive line, just to make you feel comfortable, linebacker. And yeah, backup at cornerback is going to be kind of the DBs in general.
Yeah.
Because there's still some guys where you're just like, okay, who are we going to rely on if someone goes down again? There's more there. Special teams. Yeah, I guess are we replacing all three special teams guys?
Yeah.
Is Noonkester gone? We must be. It's zero on Todd's. Yeah. Well, that's what I'd say.
Yeah. You definitely need the special teamers. I think they'll probably add him in the portal for the most part. Colin Smith, probably one of those guys will get a chance. Noonkester is like a sophomore, fake MJ said. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
He's not. He's a clutch. Chart.
God, he was so good.
Yeah.
Punter, you.
I was trying to look up our old long snapper.
With additions to QB something? And offensive line, what is State's current priority? This is kind of the same question. I think you're finding depth pieces, and you need somebody you need to back in safety help. You need some DBs. Running back
is where you need it. I mean, just give me.
I think they got running back cover, but yeah, they definitely need it.
Yeah, your cover. Well, I mean, I still feel like we're short somebody, but
I just mean who's coming in and how they feel about who's coming in. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, like, you can't rely on Jordan Poole or Mims, as far as I'm concerned. So if you bring in Hollywood, you bring in Waters, that's three guys with Raphael. Yeah, are you going to rely on these incoming freshmen? I guess that's what it's going to come down to. But
yeah,
you can only have so many. I get it. But
the weird thing, the weird rumor out of Clemson is that Clemson was trying Shipley at corner for the bowl game.
The fuck? They must have a depth issue.
They have misused that kid so much. Crazy. Hope he gets a portal. We'll see.
See, the problem is, okay, hold on. I know that, but let's pose this, right? So let's say you get Smothers and you're between Water, you know, if you get Waters and Smothers, you're never getting Shipley. Correct. He's not coming to a four person room, right?
Yeah.
So if it was down between Waters and Shipley, which one do you want at this point?
I want Shipley just for the chaos. Because I like it.
The karma play.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally winning Carter Finley, as everybody will point out. Yeah.
What if we lost every game with him?
Oh, God. You know, part of that is, and I said this about somebody else the other day, if you get Shipley here, and I forgot who we were talking about in the chat, but it is, now you can recruit against it and, like, you know, look, he was at Clemson and he decided to come here, right? He decided to come back here, right? Like, all these kids that are coming home, I think that is, to me, that's, you know, that's your recruiting angle. Like, yeah, you can go there and you'll be fine, but you're eventually coming back here because that's what everybody's doing. That's what Grimes is doing. That's what, you know, all these other kids are doing. Then, like, they're coming back. That's what. You know, Grayson McCall is North Carolina kid. He's coming back to North Carolina. All right. I think there's a lot of ways you can use that to recruit against, and, you know, especially in the Clemson case, you know, recruit against the bigger names. Somebody just put in the pod chat, Anthony Carey. I thought we were out of it with him.
Yeah, but he just posted a photo today. I saw that too. And I was just like, well, that's weird. Why would that post right now?
Yeah. So this is a kid, a four-star kid who was committed to Michigan State, backed out of that, and we were very high on him. And then rumors were that relationship stalled or whatever, and now today he's posting himself in a state jersey. So I don't know. Yeah. All right, last question, and this is an interesting one. We've talked about this a lot too. We need to win now and win big more than ever. Considering how things played out with the college football selection committee this year, do y'all agree that Dave Dorn has to get rid of his conservative approach to winning games? There was multiple times this year when we had an opportunity to put more points on the board and didn't.
You know, here's the thing, right? If Jordan Travis plays that game for FSU, all everyone's probably, I would think, talking about is, wow, what a defensive juggernaut that was. But because it was third stringer, and what I think, I mean, Louisville's quarterback is basically a third stringer anyways.
Yeah.
Right. It was like, look how bad the ACC is. If these shitty ass teams with bad quarterbacks made it this far. So I don't know. I think, like, look at the Wake game, Virginia Tech and UNC, right? Like, those games were over in the first quarter, basically. And if it wasn't for like a freak couple plays against Virginia Tech, right? Like, that game's a blowout. And so it's like, you finished the last three games of the year when you were a dominant team crushing everyone. So if you did that against the schedule and then you had your close game against Clemson, as long as it's a close game against a name brand team, I don't think you're penalized. And I think the problem is all those years is we had bad talent. Like, let's just call it what it is. You have very limited talent and you had to play that way. I think next year, I feel like it's going to be like all offense. Like, I don't think the defense is going to be anywhere close to this level. Like, you can't have this 2 years in a row, right? Unless we bring in a lot of guys. So I think they're going to have to score points. And so then it'll be kind of, I don't know.
Let's be clear. Dave would have put 50 on the board, and he said that somewhere off the record that he would have ran that score up if Brandon Armstrong was not hurt.
Yeah.
He was clearly hurt. And you could see it everywhere. Like the announcers eventually started picking up on it. He would have scored a ton of points on them. They would have scored every time they ran. Every time they had the ball in the red zone, and you know, they kicked a few field goals early and whatnot. But I'm with Will. I think it's a product of what you have talent wise, and given how they ran the offense with KC, and then you add some additional help for KC, I think the offense should be a lot of fun next year. So I don't think he's ever going to try to beat Dave Clawson by 100 and some of these other teams, like some of these other guys that he has respect for. Like, that's just not him. And I have no problem with that. FSU got boned in so many different ways. I don't know. Like Will said, I don't think it's necessarily about just not beating teams by enough. If Jordan Travis gets hurt early in the year and they still win out, I think they're in the playoff. But I think they didn't want to leave the SEC out, and and that was their excuse. I think it's a terrible. I'm disappointed in it. The whole Kirk Herbstreit thing, who's going off on FSU fans. You know,
I just saw him this morning.
I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand what Kirk's beef with them is. They have a legit complaint, and he's talking about they're all saying it's conspiracy and whatnot. It's a legit complaint. They went 13-0 in a Power 5 conference, won their conference title, and got left out because of the eye test. When that eye test applies to Alabama with barely beating USF, should have lost the Iron Bowl to a 6-6 Auburn team. I lost at home to Texas by 10. I mean, I hope Alabama gets trucked by Michigan just because. Not that I have anything for Florida State, but it's just a host job, and it looks bad in the conference. And
I don't think they were ever getting in, though. Like, if Georgia wins that game, Georgia still won, Michigan 2, Washington 3, and I feel like they were just looking for an excuse to put Texas in, right? Like, I just think no matter what, they were going to be fifth no matter what. And their argument is absolute nonsense, right? Like, you're using data from the third string quarterback when you know the second string quarterback has come in multiple times and won games. And to be like, well, he didn't play great against Florida. It's like, okay, well, you understand he was probably getting like 2% of reps all season.
And they're on the road and they still won.
Yeah. Like, and you just got a jarring injury the game before. Like, I mean, that's what's insane. And so, like, that argument was crazy. My guess, I thought it was interesting. I always love reading way too deep in this, but when Boo was getting interviewed after the decision was made, he was very hoarse. His voice kept going out. And I feel like he was probably in that room yelling a lot. And I wish they should make it public, like what the breakdown of voting was. Oh, like we had to have 10 votes before we got unanimous, right? But it could have been 7-6 for all we know. And it was just complete nonsense. And like, I know what you're saying. Like, yeah, they wanted to get an SEC team in there. It's just funny, right? Isn't FSU supposed to be a ratings juggernaut?
Yeah, and they were.
Right?
Yeah.
And, like, isn't everyone going to be watching these games no matter what? Like, I just think they were like, you know what? FSU hasn't been killing people all year. They have health issues. Fuck it. We'll pick another team that's got a hot quarterback right now. That's what it felt like to me. I think they were bringing Texas in the whole time.
Oh, they should have been. I mean, I think Texas should have been. Texas would beat the pants on Alabama at home, right?
But that's what I'm saying, right, is if Georgia wins, it's 1-2-3 is already set. It's locked. There's no question. You couldn't hold out Washington. You couldn't hold out Michigan unless they wanted to set. They should have been like, you know what? We're going to punish Michigan. That's what they should have done. Like, if I'm going to pick Michigan an undefeated team to screw.
Michigan didn't look great against Iowa. Right. If
you
look, like, statistically, JJ McCarthy, the starter,
they had a worse game than FSU did.
Right. And that was their logic. But nobody was talking about that. And it's
yeah.
FSU got boned, man. It's crazy. Yeah. Kirk hates crab cakes, according to fake MJ.
Plus, you had Texas. They were an SEC team anyways. So, you know what I mean? Like, they were just going to get claimed no matter what.
Yeah.
What, I mean.
It was a disappointing. And it was, like, I don't think Boo's out there. I don't know whether right so I say it, but it wasn't all his fault. He's the front man for it. And I don't think his answers were very good when they
because there are no good answers.
It. And that reflects on us.
I know, but it's a made up process. It's bogus. The whole thing is bogus. That's why I don't understand why he took that job, but it certainly hurt his credibility. And but at the same time it's like there's no way Boo wasn't pushing for the ACC team. You know what I mean? Like, it's money to the conference. It's like there's no argument there. I think he just was like, I got to come out here and be non-partial or whatever, impartial.
You know what I did find out? Read a story somewhere recently. The one person who was instrumental in having a four-team playoff with five power conferences. I'll give you one guess.
Jim Phillips? No, I don't know.
John Swofford.
Oh, Christ.
Swofford strikes again. Jesus moron. Christ. Moron. Moron. But yes. I thought that was fitting. And I don't even know if you mentioned MJ Moore's come into Maryland. Did we talk about that?
He went to the most cesspool team I could imagine. Of course, he probably wanted to go play for Maryland after the bowl game, when he decided to just quit like a little bitch beforehand.
That's right.
I can't imagine a better place for a guy to go. He's going to put up a bunch of fake stats on that crap ass team. They're going to be throwing it 50 times a game, and everyone's going to be talking about this incredible record he put up or something. I can't wait. But
sorry.
Goodbye.
I think MJ in the chat is offended. Yeah.
I got to beat out two guys. Yeah. Yep. That's true.
All right. Anything else? We'll be back. We'll be back later in the 18th. When was that? Next week.
We just offered a UNC lineman.
We did?
Yeah.
Offensive lineman? That's terrible.
I know. Well, he didn't play. And I'm trying to get the deets.
Justin Kanayuk. He's got a mullet, so bring him on.
He's halfway there, right?
Oh. Well, that's a different story for a different time.
My God.
His bio says a valuable squad member who added depth to the offensive line, redshirted.
I don't know. he probably gave us the playbook. Yeah, it says 3 hours ago, NC State offered. Very curious.
Okay. All right.
If it's a walk-on. We've gone too long.
All right, folks. As always, thanks for
listening. There it is again!
It's when I put my hand on my face.
Are you sure? I feel like it's someone from the chat messing with us.
Maybe. I don't know. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. I appreciate the engagement. It was high quality. And yeah, optimistic December. It's here. Let's go. Go back.
Better than depressing December.
It is better. I lied. Bowl game matchup.
God damn it.
I like the bowl game matchup. We're not going to get into it, but I want to at least address it. Bowl game matchup. It's good.
Yeah, it's good to play another team with no quarterback. That's always
good. And a bunch of guys in the portal, too. No defensive backs either. So I can't wait to hear what Cocaine Willie has to say.
But how are we going to score without Ant Smith?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
All right. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening, supporting the pod. Appreciate y'all. Go back.
Go back. I was raised by the waves. I was raised by the waves. Did it?